feel like I'm missing out because everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're selling flaky salt or fine art prints, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can successfully grow your business. Covering all your sales channels, from a shopfront-ready point-of-sale system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And thanks to award-winning help and with an extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/Wondery, all lowercase. Go to shopify.co.uk/Wondery to take your business to the next level today. shopify.co.uk/Wondery.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crap Ends, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Bravo TV. Although in this case, today we're talking about something on Max, because we're talking Chimp Crazy, Episode 3. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is a man who would never hide a chimpanzee in his basement, at least not that I would think. Mr. Ronnie Karam, how are you?
I sure as hell would. If I loved that chimp, I would totally steal it and hide it and make a little basement for it. Of course I would.
Okay, I take it all back. I apologize.
My gosh, we ever even met? I don't know that I necessarily approve, but you know what? I'm here for the journey, guys. Now, this is an interesting show for us to recap because we recap dramatic things sometimes, but for the most part, we keep it fun and light. We mostly like rubber-faced ladies yelling at each other for no good reason. But, you know, this has been a fun one, but God, this show gets dark. Oh, my God, this show gets dark, and this is probably at least once an episode, but especially this episode, I text you, like, what do we do? How do we do this? This is really dark. Now, thankfully, they save it every time by having so much fucking crazy packed into it that maybe we could just skip a lot of the trauma. Just be like, that was traumatic. Next.
Yeah.
And do like I do in my own life and just bury it deep. Bury it deep, guys. Bury it deep. Because it's dark.
I continue to be amazed by how smart these chimps are, the way they really do seem to understand language, you know, and the way they know how to use things, like they know how to wipe poop off their window to some degree, or they know how to open up wrappers and use bottles and things like that. They don't understand tools. It's really amazing. But I'm also amazed by these humans that really think that chimps are their children. Like, I don't understand it. And I'm like, you're playing with fire, because you wait around long enough, that chimp's gonna tear your face off. I'm telling you right now, be careful.
Well, we open with, this is episode 3, by the way, for those following along. We open with police cam footage, which, you know, it's nice to see that the cameras are turned on, because that's, you know, you have to put in a request for that sometimes these days. But the police cam footage is on, so we see it. And there's a guy an officer who's talking about, he's into the radio, and he's like, due to risk of life, I'm going to be engaging the chimp. And we see him. It's like full Call of Duty for anybody who's played that. It's a first-person shooter. It's like full first-person shooter of this guy with like a machine gun.
Right.
And for lack of a better term, because listen, obviously, I'm terrible at Call of Duty. Like, that's one of those straight things where the gay really shows, where I'm like, this should be the most fun game on PlayStation. Everybody loves this game. No, not. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's too gay, but I literally, and it's not to say that gay people can't be in the military and shoot and all that stuff, but I walk into a room and I see a gun pointed at me and start shooting at me, and I squeal like this.
Well,
I start squealing like that, so that's what I mean by too gay for the game. But anyway, this is like that, and I did start squealing like that.
They need to
release
a gay version of Call of Duty, because I think like Call of Duty for gays is like, your Call of Duty is that you have to go to Joann's Fabrics. I'm like, sign me up. Like, that's my kind of Call of Duty.
You have to go to the Hobby Lobby and get more glue gun sticks, but we're not going to tell you what size glue gun they're for. You're like, oh my God, but aren't they mean about abortion? I don't want to go there. I don't think they like gay rights. You're going.
Level three.
These feathers are so tacky.
Level three, you go to Target to buy some deodorant, but then you take an extra lap to see what their home goods are, and you come out with about four or five pans or Tupperware items.
Well, it could be Target to look for deodorant, because that is a Call of Duty thing, because then you have to find the attendant. In California, you have to get an attendant to open the fucking cage for you, because the deodorant is locked up. So you have to go through all the aisles of zombies to find the person to unlock it for. I mean,
what about, girl, where's the documentary?
There's a lot of gay Call of Duty.
Where's deodorant crazy about deodorant that's locked up? Okay, how about PETA? How about PETA freeze the deodorant out of our cages? How about that?
But this is so sad, because you know that he is going for a chimp and he's going to kill this chimp. He's got a machine gun. Like, what else is he going to do? You know? So, not liking this automatically. And I was like, this is a good week to take off. Yay, Labor Day. Sorry, chimps. Bye, busy. But you know what? We started something and we're going to complete it. God damn it.
Our Call of Duty is recapping Chimp Crazy. By the way, when the guy says he's going to be engaging the chimp, that is, by the way, a sitcom from the 80s starring Suzanne Somers, Engaging the Chimp. I don't know if you ever saw it. It had one episode. Ronnie's being like, is Ben serious or is he not serious?
You're not serious, are you?
No, I'm not. You're like, wait a second.
Then I started going through Suzanne Somers' bio. I was like, no, she was way too difficult. No one wanted to work with her again after
that. No, although she was in a sitcom called She's the Sheriff. So, I mean,
yes, that's true. I do remember that one.
You know, they had.
I just was wondering if I really slipped that much. I was like, this really is gay Call of Duty day. Like a Suzanne sitcom that I don't know. Suzanne Somers sitcom. I don't know.
Engaging the chimp.
I really am just getting beat today. So then we cut to an aerial shot of a ranch style home with a pool. And inside the room, inside, we see a large cage, and it's the Tonka Tonky Bee's basement. And Tanya is playing with Tonky Bee, and she's running around this couch. She's got the couch in the center of the room. It's very bad feng shui, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I don't know how you're supposed to feng shui your chimp prison, but this is very bad, because she has like a cage on one half of the room. Then the other half of the room is her cage, the human cage. But the couch is kind of dividing the human cage in two, so she has to run around. Maybe that's the point. She has to run around the couch, and she's like playing chase with Tonka from behind the glass and stuff. It was kind of cute.
What I didn't understand is, she lives in this huge mansion. Why is Tonka's cage so small? Surely the basement's larger than that. Can you not, if you're going to hide the chimp in your basement, and you're, you know, fast forward a little bit to how the process happens, as long as like Tonka is somewhere else while she builds this cage, could you give him some more space? I mean, it's so small.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's because she wants a room for her to be down there so she can hang out with him. So like half of it has to be a couch.
I don't know.
I was more worried about like
the middle. Yeah. Then she had to go over it.
But I like that she was addressing PETA's concerns by just making it more colorful. She's like, it's a prettier prison.
Yeah.
Look at that.
This wall over here is blue. And that one's red. And it's like pretty cheerful. So I think Tonk's going to love it.
Yeah. So, Eric is like, okay. So then we start finding out, because the big surprise at the end of the last episode was that Tonka is alive in the basement. And apparently Eric had no idea. So this is actually kind of hilarious, because she fooled the whole crew, right? Which is shocking, because she can't keep a damn secret. You know, she keeps letting things spill. And, but she hid this from them the whole time, and they're shocked. And so Eric is like, so we followed the story, and Tonka was supposed to be deceased. And then we cut to clips of Tanya being interviewed, and Dwayne saying, well, how do you explain that? And she's like, well, I mean, I already said Tonka will never go to a chimp sanctuary. I opted to go against the court order. I was, you know, his health doesn't allow him to make a trip across to Florida stated he just gets too unhealthy. So you know what his health does allow for? Kidnapping and short-term sedation. You know, short-term sedation is fine. We're really into short-term sedation here. Health! Yay, chimp health!
Yeah, look at his arm. It's not fat. It's just fluid. It's just fat, fatty fluid. You know, he's definitely in congestive heart failure. Listen, we brought in the best bat in the Ozarks Lake. His name is Quaker Oats Guy. He's on all that. Almost. He wears a nice hat. And he says it's liquid. He's all liquid, in fact. He's basically a thawed out popsicle with hair on it. And so he can't live like this much longer. He can't go to a sanctuary. I mean, what are they going to do? Be nice to him and take care of him? He can't do that.
Yeah, so I came down, I hang out with him a little bit. He's got an iPad. And it's not a real iPad, it's a kid iPad. It's a stupid people iPad. It's an iPad, but he has internet. He has his own email account. I don't really know what he's going to do that. Probably try and order a real iPad. Honestly, these things are really smart.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't send an email, but if he does, I mean, it is what it is. So, you know, if by accident I may have ordered like a, you know, 75-inch TV, I was like, well, my monkey ordered it. It wasn't me, so it doesn't mean the full refund, but I'm not going to give you the TV back. I don't know what happened to the TV. The TV's deceased. It's here at the ashes of the TV.
And so she hands him a cloth through the cage, and she's like, all right, well, you need to clean the window now, Tonky. Oh, Jesus.
Over here, Tonk.
He threw poop at the window. He threw poop at the window, so now he's got to clean the poop off the window. I mean, it's cause and effect, Tonk. It was like we were talking about.
Over here. Come on, Tonk. Right here, Tonk. And that's better. Here's your poop. Here's the poop tank.
And Tonky's just like wiping the poop off his cage like, damn it. Why do I just keep doing that? I keep telling myself, today's the last day I'm throwing poop at the wall. And then I do it again, and here I am. My own worst enemy, am I right?
So now we cut to Eric watching this footage. And I feel like half of this episode is Eric trying to explain to the audience why he kept on filming. It's him being like, pretending like he's having a moral quandary when what he really wants to do is like, oh shit, this is going to be a great documentary. But he has to pretend like he is not sure what to do. I'm like, you know what you want to do. You want to make a movie that's going to become a viral hit like Tiger King. There, you have no moral qualms about this situation. I don't believe for a second. But he has to kind of be like, oh my God, what do we do? I mean, this is insane. I mean, this is the craziest story ever. What do we do? Maybe we should say something. You heard me, America. I have a guilty conscience, right? Okay, keep filming. Keep filming.
Let's think about this really, really deeply for at least another 3 weeks, guys. Okay. So they're like, let's call Dwayne, the fake director. So they call Dwayne, and Dwayne's like, yeah, things are getting a little strange over here because now it's taking a kidnapping turn. So guys have any plans on how we're going to handle that? And Eric's like, well, first of all, most important thing is Tonka okay? That's what we really care about.
You got that on camera, right? Is Tonka okay? I care about Tonka's welfare right now. Okay, right? Okay, let's keep going.
And Dwayne's like, well, I don't think he's being abused. I mean, he's in a basement, but I mean, under the circumstances, like, when is he not in a basement? You know what I mean? I mean, it's a cage. It's an underground cage. Is that great? No, but he's kind of always in a cage. I don't know. How am I supposed to take this? Okay, is this a human? Because they keep trying to make these moral judgments on like, well, is it bad to leave him in a cage? Well, they're always in a cage. I don't know. It's like, Dwayne's like, what the fuck do you want me to do? I'm a clown. I'm literally a clown. I can't make this call.
I know. Why are you asking me? Also, I love that like the animal sanctuary is like the boogeyman. Like, oh my goodness. The last thing that we want to do is send him to an animal sanctuary where he'll be taken care of. I mean, like, that is where you would want it to go. It's in the name, sanctuary. But I know Tanya is, Tanya. She's like very concerned that Tonk will go to the animal sanctuary and be killed by the other apes and everything. And I'm like, well, yeah, that would suck, but that's also like nature. And it's like, wouldn't you rather your ape be killed?
Man,
no, it's true. I mean, the monkeys attack each other in the wild. That's just how it is, right? As opposed to being killed, you know, in a small cage next to the laundry machine, where you live a sad life of darkness and claustrophobia.
Jeez. Okay, so then Eric is talking to Jeremy outside, and he's like, okay, gosh, okay, so if we turn her in, you know, well, she won't lead us to anybody else, and I just feel like there's other people that she knows. You know, there's more chimp people out there. There's more people keeping chimps. That's why we got to do it. We're going to find a whole chimp network. we're going to find Epstein's list, but for chimps.
I know.
That's got to be out there.
Yes. So we can't stop now because we're going to blow the lid off a secret network of chimp people, right? It's like, sure.
And so Jeremy's like, but is that the right thing to do? He's like, I don't know. We're on Max. Like, do we have to make these calls?
So now Tanya is being interviewed by Dwayne, and he's like, so PETA took all those chimps. Where was Tonka when PETA made the raid? And she goes, what? Well, Tonka was actually on the run with me. And well, on the run, I mean, he was, you know, passed out. He was poison darted. But he was like, he was on the being dragged with me, I guess you could say. I mean, literally on the run. I mean, by literally on the run, I mean, literally he was in a box, lifeless, basically, while I was driving.
He did have runs. And you know what's amazing? He had runs while I was on the run. And he still threw it at the wall in his sleep. I mean, this guy, I tell you, he never takes a day off. So this part was crazy to me. So they show what she actually did to hide him. And it's insane that she wasn't caught doing this.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like the housewives, whenever something happens off camera and you're like, aren't you guys, especially like you're on vacation, there's cameras there all the time. Why would you turn the cameras off?
Right.
You know? And this is one of those situations. So she says, before PETA came and took the kids, Tonka had a massive stroke, which of course is bullshit, you know, but she's, which we think is bullshit. But then we see the clips of her reinforcing this by kind of leading up to, oh, Tonka's a sick chimp. He's had strokes before and he's real sick, real sick. And she says, God gave me an opportunity, so I took advantage of it. And we demised a plan to say he died.
We died a plan to say he demised the plan. Here's the ashes. So,
if you stir it with water, it'll make chocolate milk. Just saying.
And then we see this amazing montage of her lying that Tonka's dead. She's like, "Well, I found him dead. I mean, he was in his cage. He didn't move. I mean, we knew his time was limited. He was dead. He was gone. He never saw him again."
And really the best thing about this, because we've seen all those scenes of her crying and her saying that he's dead and all this. The best part is watching the wigs just change with every quick. She has so many crazy wigs. It's just like Tanya lying in different wigs.
Yeah. So then they start playing the Cranberries, which I was like, this is a strange twist for this documentary. And she's like, well, the night before PETA came and took the chimps, and after the film crew left, Jerry and I started preparations to get Tank sedated. You know, it took us till 3 a.m., and, you know, he kept on throwing poop at us. And I was like, Tank, come on, Tank, you got to clean that up. And then we went ahead, and we just went to the Holiday Inn. So they basically blow-darted him and then put him in a crate. And they were like, okay, we finally got him a crate. We can finally be on the run. I'm tired. Let's go to the Holiday Inn. They went 2 miles away and they paused to take a break, an overnight break. I'm like,
and they went to the Holiday Inn. Okay, so then we see the hotel footage. They got the footage. Yes, they got a second story room, and we see the footage from the hotel, like black and white grainy camera footage from the hallway of them dragging a huge trunk.
Was no one in security up the stairs at Holiday Inn? So someone like, oh, well, there's more people pulling something up in a crate. I'm like, you're in a sketchy ass motel and you're not freaked out by two people in the middle of the night bringing a giant heavy crate up your staircase.
And she's like, well, we put him in the bathroom in case he peed. I mean, we're not going to trash a hotel. I mean, lie and keep a giant poop throwing chimp in there. Sure. But we're not going to trash it. I mean, come on. We've got some lines we don't cross. Some
glass here. And he goes, and then we drove straight to size. Well, then we actually know. We stopped over at Yogurtland in the morning, and well, we weren't going to leave Tonk in the car, so it just cut to footage of them pushing a monkey crate into a Yogurtland. Tonk, you want some Yogurtland? He's asleep. You want some cookies and cream? I think he's still asleep.
This is Tonk. We're pretending Tonk is a tray at a Golden Corral. We're just putting our plates right on top of Tonk, pushing him right through the line there.
Here we are. We got about a quarter of a mile down the road from the Holiday Inn, and this is us pulling into the Red Lobster, and we're just pushing Tonk in there.
Just restaurant to restaurant.
Got all the cheddar buns. You know, you may be on the run, but you need those cheddar biscuits.
So we see them now driving to Cincinnati, and their little baby monkey squealing in a cage in the back of her vehicle because she's still like taunting. She just hasn't learned her lesson. She's like, yeah, it's real sad about what's happened to Tonka. So, you know, I'm just going to sell 90 more animals to people who don't really don't know how to take care of them. It's all for the kids. You're fine, Boonie. Boonie, we're going to get you to size, all right? I'll change your diapers and feed you a bottle. Boonie, fix your wig, Boonie.
Boonie's back there with like a little tiny curly blonde
dress, like
Tanya wig,
dress like the mom from Bewitched. So
I told you you could turn him into you.
So now Tanya is in a grocery store with a shopping cart, and she's like,
well, you know, Sai is a chimp guy. I mean, I never met him. I just met him the day I dropped Tonka off. And my best place was to pick somebody that had chimpanzees that could blend Tonka in. And Sai was the perfect person because Sai had male a male chimpanzee named Ricky. And Ricky happened to die of liver failure. So no one would know that it's Tonka because everyone thinks it's Ricky. You see what I'm saying there? It's like a little...
You know, it's so sad. And I'm not really sure why all these chimps get liver failure. Hey, can I have another bottle of Jack with these ho-hos? And do you have any more of those ring things back there? I need something to give them to wash down their chicken nuggets. It's crazy.
Does this Jet Puff come in a bigger container?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
She struck him with her motor vehicle. She had been under the influence and then she left him there.
In January 2022, local woman Karen Reed was implicated in the mysterious death of her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe. It was alleged that after an innocent night out for drinks with friends, Karen and John got into a lover's quarrel en route to the next location. What happens next depends on who you ask. Was it a crime of passion?
If you believe the prosecution, it's because the evidence was so compelling. This was clearly an intentional act. And his cause of death was blunt force trauma with hypothermia.
Or a corrupt police cover-up.
If you believe the defense theory, however, this was all a cover-up to prevent one of their own from going down.
Everyone had an opinion. And after the 10-week trial, the jury could not come to a unanimous decision.
To end in a mistrial, it's just a confirmation of just how complicated this case is.
Law and Crime presents the most in-depth analysis to date of the sensational case in Karen. You can listen to Karen exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was, like, at my locker, and she came up to me, and she was, like, stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f***ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's, like, doubling and tripling, and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
No, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. You're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new dateline and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So they are going to just blend him in, right? So then we see her at the McDonald's drive-thru. I mean, she really is on a health food kick here. And saying, yeah, we're going to have 3 chicken McNugget Happy Meals. We want the extra fries. We need chocolate milk. What do you mean you're out of the Hello Kitty toy? What do you mean? Is every single one? How many people are into Hello Kitty? Boonie just threw a piece of poop in my face because she heard there's no more Hello Kitty. Lady, please.
So then we now hear Sai's answering machine, which says, hi, you've reached Sai at Union Ridge Wildlife Center. We're all busy monkeying around, so please leave a message and someone will return your call. These people. So they go.
I had to look this up. McDonald's Hello Kitty X UGO Happy Meal has left out a toy that was included in its international release, and fans are not happy. Has your local McDonald's run out of the Hello Kitty toys? I knew it. I knew this was the thing when I went to get fries at two different McDonald's, and both on different days, of course, and both of them were out of the Hello Kitty toys. I was like, this is probably causing a ruckus. And according to the internet, it is. And in our next episode, we are going to get to the bottom of what happened to the Hello Kitty. I'm just kidding.
It's in Tonka's basement.
But it's a thing. Donkey.
We're free. We're free.
Hello Kitty just threw some shit in my face. Yeah.
We're free. Okay, Kitty, clean this up. Right here. Come on, Kitty.
So they go, they infiltrate this place. This is Sai's.
We know Sai's trouble, right? Because we see Sai, and Sai is wearing a bright orange jack-o'-lantern shirt. Nothing good ever comes out of people wearing jack-o'-lantern shirts. I'm telling you. Nothing good.
Yeah. People who like Halloween. And
he's got
too
like
much.
The big. It's
dangerous.
I think he has like the big earring hole things in his ear that look like they're like giant shoelace holes. And so he's there. And so then Eric is on the phone with Dwayne. And Dwayne's like, well, she was just trying to figure out where to take Tonka to. And then Connie Casey suggested Sai. And listen, Sai is not open to the public. He's a private collection. He has like some tigers. He's got other stuff. He's got chimps. And then we start seeing just all of the animals that he has. This guy is a pack rat, but of like living, like a living pack rat, a life form pack rat.
Everything but pack rats. So they're in there, and Tanya's like outside, like the chimp area, and they're like, and she's like, I hear him. Yeah, they heard that I'm here. They know me. We got a lot of Hello Kitty fans in there. Some of them are going to be a little disappointed with the toys, I got to say.
Yeah, and they are going crazy. And she's like, hey, girl, you're my favorite girl. Give me a kiss. What? No, I don't have the fucking Hello Kitty. What? You're just a bunch of fucking users, right? No one's getting the Hello Kitty, all right? Everybody's screeching out right now.
And Sai keeps on walking around like these chimps are going nuts. They are banging on the cages. They're screaming. They're jumping around. And he keeps walking around going, shh, shh, shh. It's like, could you not condescend to these poor animals?
That was funny. He's like, be quiet now. Be quiet. Be quiet, wild animals.
Shh, be quiet, guys.
She's like, they look good, Sai. And he's like, this was an opportunity for me to do something for someone that I'd want done for me if I was in the same situation. Oh, no. No, no, Sai. That's not what I want to hear. Because you know Sai's ass will call you. Mm-hmm. You can be like, hey, Sai, thanks so much for the ride. And a week later, Sai's like, I've kidnapped some chimps. Can I leave them at your house?
Yeah.
But I gave you a ride.
So he's like, you know, I just like, you know, I'd seen some of my own friends in Ohio lose their animals because they weren't willing to, you know, adjust to new rules and regulations. And Tonka was here for at least 6 months, and Tanya drove here regularly, even for just an evening. And she's saying,
yeah, I mean, I didn't know the connection between Sai and I, so it was perfect. So when we came to Sai's, we were very careful. We'd always be doing transport to somewhere else, so they would have to have followed us for many, many thousands of miles. Which is like, by the way, PETA, why did you not hire, like, a private detective?
This seems like the easiest thing to trail someone to, like, if she's driving to like Ohio, is that not strange? Just pay someone to trail.
Well, we have to also remember that PETA is not the FBI. You know what I mean? Like, they're just some organization that's like trying to help the animals. They're like, we'll file a lawsuit and follow through. But I mean, through a lot of this, I'm like, why has PETA not tapped her phones yet? Yeah. How have they not found her? Don't they have fingerprint scanners anywhere? I mean, what is with the heat wave scanners? Am I right? Like, I read the news so much that I'm like, how have they not caught her? But they're really just, you know, like a charity organization.
Yeah, but they're like,
they're not really supposed to be following them around. But I see what you're saying. I mean, it's like that Jared guy who's like, we have done everything that we can. We have searched high and low. We will search deserts. We will search oceans. No, we haven't looked into it. No, we're not going to do that. Yeah, we don't let him go. It's smelly. It's smelly in there. So
it feels like PETA is trying to commission like 23-year-olds who have just graduated from school and don't know what they're going to do with their lives and are like, hey, can you go find the chimp? And they're like, yeah, man, this is super cool. And they probably like look for like 2 hours every day and then they give up and do something else. Like, it's like throw some money at a real private investigator.
I'm just here to spray Kim Kardashian with spray paint. Yeah. Just give me that job. So Cy, we find out about Cy while Tanya is feeding the monkeys their Happy Meals and saying, here's your sauce, and just throws a closed sauce, and the monkey grabs the sauce and like, yeah, honey mustard. And we learned about Cy, and he tells us the Union Ridge Wildlife Center provides sanctuary to animals that are being displaced. I'm looking into expanding with great apes. Here's our project. And he shows Tanya this huge project. It's basically like a hamster tube, and it's hamster tubes going all over the place in rainbow colors. And he's like, I want it to look like a hamster cage, even painted these obnoxious colors.
So he's going to build this giant cement, like hamster cage for the apes to jump around in, but it's all cement. So it looks like a nuclear reactor. And I don't know how he's going to get the money or the zoning approval to build the structure, but like, this is his dream.
He says, as we gain some creative funding sources, I was like, well, what does that mean? Some creative funding sources. And he goes, yeah, well, once we do it, we'll get 24 chimps in there. And she's like, that is amazing, Cy. And he's like, yeah, I really had to sell Tanya on trusting me because, you know, I've made choices that have really screwed that up in some people's minds. Just Google me, Cy Viestra. I was the township fiscal officer. Oh my God, this fucking guy. And then they start flashing all of it, the shit that Cy has done. And he tells us, I got hooked on buying random things off auction sites. And then when I ran out of money, I started spending township money. I always was going to put it back, but it got really out of control. And we see a list of stuff that he's stolen. He stole like... not stole, but bought off an auction site. He bought a snow cone machine and a wildebeest. What else did he buy on
it there? Was just like all sorts of random ass stuff. Like, he was keeping eBay alive, and he dipped into the town funds, and basically he had to pay $340,000 or else, you know, go to jail for 9 years. She goes, yeah, they're throwing the book at him per se. Per se, I guess. So then they're just like playing back with the chimps. Like, this is just like, oh yeah, he's just, you know, financial mismanagement, sort of low level criminal here. And now like Cy's clipping the chimps' nails and everything. And Dwayne's like, you know, you're already in trouble with the law. So then you help Tanya defy a court order. Does that worry you? He's like, no. Great. I love that people's judgments are really really in fine order here.
He's like, look down at that snow globe you're eating, that snow cone you're eating, that was stolen. Are you scared? Are you?
Yeah, and just remember, if I hadn't stolen it from the rich, you wouldn't have had a snow cone right now, so you're welcome.
So then we go to Jared Goodman, the PETA lawyer, getting ready for an interview. And we cut back to Tanya. And she's like, once I announced that Tonka passed, Jared Goodman, a little fucker attorney at PETA, contacted me, wanting proof. So I was like, all right, I cremated him. And we see her holding the Nesquik ashes. And then we cut to Jared, and he's like, we knew that there was no real basis to believe Tanya. But frankly, you know, given her lies up until this point, it was remarkable that she expected anyone to believe this. Mm-hmm. Now, did we do anything to find Tonka? Not really. Well, we did everything. We climbed mountains. We swam rivers. We went through oceans. We dug holes to the center of the earth.
Did you look in the windows of her?
No, we wouldn't look in the windows. Well, we didn't look in her house. She's a disgusting human being.
Well, when she drove off in the middle of the night, did you follow her? Well, no, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, she clearly was just going to the 7-Eleven. Why else would you go off in the middle of the night? So no, we didn't follow her at all. So then Tanya's basically like, well, we needed some ashes. So I'm like, okay, where am I going to come up with the ashes? And then we see them standing over Ricky, the chimp's tombstone. And Sai's like, well, it was so important to me to help Tanya protect her relationship with Tonka. So I said, you know, I've got Ricky out here, so what better purpose for him to be part of this greater scheme of things? So they basically exhumed Ricky the chimp's bones, and he goes...
And he was 80% decomposed. What the fuck?
Yeah, it was mostly there. Mostly bones.
And he goes, now, it was mostly just decomposed. Mind you, now, I had already removed his head, you know, because I wanted to preserve his skull. Oh, well, naturally. He's like, yeah, you know, like, obviously the head was gone anyway, so hope they're not looking for that.
Yeah, well, when our home by the lake was ready, you know, when we were done building a tiny cage for Tonk, you know, we went to pick up Tonka and Rinky, and so then we have a chimp body in the back of our truck, and with a fugitive going all the way from Ohio to Missouri. I mean, if they had stopped for any reason, they would have thought, hey, and they would have thought that was a human remain, because they would have thought we had killed someone.
I'm like, yeah, and they also would have been like, why do you have a chimpanzee, a sedated chimpanzee in your trunk, too?
I know, so it's like, yeah, like a Jeffrey Dahmer thing. And they're like, ha, 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 ha. So then I have questions. So those ashes were just cake mix, right? They weren't actually this other chimp. Oh,
but it sounds like they actually did make chimp ashes.
Because there were no bones or anything in the ashes, so that's weird. And... were they keeping this chimp to, like, just bury in the backyard in case they got questioned more? They could say, well, we didn't actually cremate him. He's buried in the backyard. We just, I don't know. I'm so confused by this whole thing. So anyway, Tanya is talking to Tonka through the cage. And she's like, oh, God, this house is perfect. It's off the road. There's a rural area. No one bothers you. And he's so quiet. I mean, even though there's people here constantly, they had no clue there was a chimpanzee here. You know, people spent the night and didn't know there was a chimpanzee here.
Cut to everyone who stayed at Tanya's house. Did it sort of feel like there was a chimpanzee there? Yeah, it did.
Oh, it's just Tanya's. Just Tanya's house.
So then we now cut to Tanya's son, Justin Range. And he's like, yeah, she even kept it from me. He basically is like, yeah, I didn't even know. And then one day he's like, I came downstairs and was like, holy crap. He's like, yeah, it's really stressful. You have to really watch your P's and Q's when you start talking to people. Cause in all intents and purposes, he's like a fugitive. It's like walking on eggshells, man. Like, and while it's worthy cause for this boy, like, God, it scares me. It's just, afraid that she might, you know, get too caught up in this and not worry about herself, because that's how she's been her whole life. I'm like, oh, I would also be worried. Her face may get ripped off.
Yeah, and it's an interesting way to look at it, because this whole thing is kind of her just worried about herself, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of guised, it's, you know, it's kind of masked under this, I'm doing it for the chimp, but it's like ultimately a selfish thing that she's doing.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I think God has plans for everything. And I think mine was to be a caregiver. I was like, well, maybe try your son first. I don't know. So then we see some footage of Tonya's wedding. And she's like, I got married when I was young. And it's like flashback to Tonya. It's like, whoa, what the hell's going on here? And we don't really see her husband's face, but she's like, I got married when I was young. And my husband was quite a bit older than I was. And yeah, he didn't believe in women working, so...
Like, oh my God, this poor kid.
Yeah, and so we see that she became, like, her husband allowed her to become a foster parent, and so then she wind up, at 19 years old, she was a foster parent, which feels really young to be a foster parent. And she wound up having 75 foster kids over the years, and she wound up getting a foster daughter who had fetal alcohol syndrome. And she's like, yeah. And the judge was like, you sure you want to take this on? Because she'll probably never be a productive citizen. I said, you give me that baby. Why would I change that now? So she took over. She actually had a biological son. So she was constantly like taking care of helpless children, essentially.
Yeah. She may have fetal alcohol syndrome, but from now on, she's only going to have chicken nugget alcohol syndrome, because she's going to get a lot of chicken nuggets. I love chicken. Get over here. I'm going to love you with chicken nuggets. She's actually like such a good lady. You know, this whole thing is confusing, I guess. It's just so not easy to paint a villain as.
Right.
I mean, I know I keep saying that through the whole thing, but I'm like, wow. Cause I feel like it should be so easy to not like this person or just judge her and be like, you suck. You're doing the wrong thing.
And it gets easier by the end of this episode. But at this point, I'm just like, that's a good lady. I love you, Tom.
Well, she's sweet to the animals. She's very sweet to them. But again, she is really putting her needs and her wants above what the animal needs. And she's warped her narrative and her reality into thinking like, no, like an animal sanctuary will not give Tonka what he needs. I'm the only one who can say what he needs. And she's making these medical assessments based off of no experience whatsoever. She's just saying, oh, he has, you know, congenital heart failure or congenital, I think. And she's just sort of saying these things. And she talks about a vet that we never hear from or see or whatever. I don't know. Like, she's not.
No, I know. I get it, but she seems so nice.
Like, it is a very conflicting depiction of a person.
So Justin is talking about his childhood, and he's like, oh, well, no. First, she talks about raising her kids. So she had all these foster kids. She ended up adopting her daughter and then had her biological son. And she says, the two kids were the most important thing for so many years. And then, you know what? They started doing their own things. They started, you know, getting involved in soccer, walking. You know, they started walking, so they were able to just, like, get up and walk away from me. That was something. They started talking and saying, bye, Mom, and going out the front door. I wasn't going to have that anymore. So, you know, I definitely felt like, you know, I'm alone. And so then it cuts to Justin, and he's like, yeah, I remember the time she picked me up from school, and I noticed little premature diapers in the back, and I said, am I having a brother or sister? And she said, yeah. Kinda. And then life just started revolving around monkeys, you know? Like, if I had a school function or whatever, she just wouldn't come because she had to take care of the monkeys. So that wasn't great, you know? I mean, did I feel abandoned? I mean, no, but like, where do I fit into the picture, you know?
You're out of it, kid. Come on, make room for Tonk. So,
I mean, the kid's so sad, and he's so sweet and supportive of his mom that he's like, I just understand that's how she is, and I try not to take it personally. But you can see that it really hurts him, because he even is kind of like making himself look like a chimp in a way. Like, he's growing his facial hair like on this part of his face only, like to look like Curious George a little bit. He looks like a little baby Donkey Kong. I love him. I just want to hug him. Yeah. It's just like trying to make himself good for his mom. He's like eating a banana. He's like, I don't mind. My mom doesn't have to pay any attention to me. You so poop at me, you little fucker.
And he's basically saying,
well, I get in trouble.
He's basically saying, like, yeah, she literally said, I care about these monkeys more than I care about my kids. And he's like, well, that, like, really, he's like, it hurts, but, you know, he's also like, you know, my mom just feels like no one needs her, and like, she needs to feel needed. And the monkeys are basically, they're like children that just never grow up. So they always need her care no matter what. And, you know, he basically is ultimately supportive. He's like reluctantly supportive of his mother. And he sort of has empathy that she has this deep need to be needed, which is, you know, very sad. Very, very sad that, like, we all want to be needed, I think. But, like, maybe we're okay if we're not needed by a chimpanzee.
Well, and they do grow up, right? That's the irony, is that she thinks like they're kids that never grow up. And she says that in this a couple of times, like, they're like kids, but they never grow up, but they do grow up. They just can't tell you, let me the fuck out of these chains. You know what I mean? Like, your son was just actually able to pick the lock a little bit better. Like, we're slightly more evolved.
Isn't it funny? Also, just thinking back, I wonder, has this been brought up on the documentary, but isn't it funny? You know, Michael Jackson famously had a chimpanzee named Bubbles. Was it Bubbles, right? And, like, you know, Michael Jackson, like, a big part of his persona was that he wanted to stay, like, in a state of childlike wonderment. He himself did not want to grow up. He had Neverland Ranch. He, you know, invited lots of kids over for, you know, whatever reasons. But his whole thing was he just liked to be he wanted to be a kid. He wanted to stay a kid forever. And it is kind of funny, this correlation between these chimps and, like, permanent childhoodness, right? And, like, this weird need and desire for that is somehow draws attention to chimps. And I hope the documentary actually, well, it doesn't have to get into it, but, like, it would be interesting to see the dynamic, like, exploring that dynamic with Michael Jackson. Okay, I'm getting off topic now. But the point is, chimps, kids, it's crazy.
Well, his chimp, Bubbles, ended up at the Center for Great Apes in 2005. And he's 41 years old, and he's had a lot of freedom at the sanctuary.
See? So there you go.
So he's okay. Yeah, he's okay. But yeah, there is something about that, like we talked about with Joe, What's-His-Buns, who is crazy from Tiger King. There's something about people obsessed with Botox and face... like facial procedures and just general narcissistic ways
It's like refusing
to animal horde,
refusing to acknowledge the passing of time, or like fighting against time and aging and things changing and moving on to different stages of life almost.
Yeah. Commercials. Here comes one
right now. Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some shit, and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Yeager. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So then we go to Brittany. So Brittany, so this is the other PETA lady. Brittany is talking about how she's saying this is the culture. She's explaining the people who own the chimps. She's saying there is a culture of almost entirely women who raise chimpanzees and monkeys as if they're babies. And they have to create a myth that this animal is my son. He's part of my family, but this is a fantasy and it inevitably ends in tragedy. And that was the case with Buck in Pendleton. Like, so then we get back to this
another chimp
awful story. And I feel for Brittany, because Brittany is just like the harbinger of doom. They're like, you know what? We have bad news. Send Brittany in. And Brittany shows up and she's like, I'm sad face Brittany.
Can we have?
I'm going to ruin your fucking life. Give Jared a break. Jared's for happy things. Okay. I'm going to ruin your fucking life.
Jared's not available. He is looking high and low for Tonka. He is apparently checking every single airport in the nation. Has he checked Tanya's house? No. But he's going to look everywhere else. Okay. So can we send it?
Get off my ass, Brittany.
Can we send in a young Mimi Rogers to talk to the camera? Okay, someone send in Brittany. They want a young Mimi Rogers. Okay, great.
Gosh, she does have that kind of Mimi Rogers, always has bad news to tell you kind of a face. So then we cut to this story of Buck. So she is telling it, Jamie. And basically, this is a Oregon place. Pendleton, Oregon. And we meet Jamie. Who was I talking? Brittany, I was talking about. So we meet Jamie. So Jamie is this chick with a bunch of tattoos, and she's the narrator of this next section.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, Pendleton's a Western town, and we pride ourselves on being rural Oregon. We're conservative, but we're also tight knit, and everyone here knows everybody. But I never knew about Buck until the day Tamara Brigati walked into my store with a chimp on her back. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Hey, everyone, look, this is my little scrapbook. It's a little conservative scrapbook, but it's a tight-knit scrapbook. And over the years, I kind of collected a handful of pictures. Look, that's me and my buddy. Hey, that's me shotgunning a Slurpee at 7-Eleven. Hey, look, that's me. That's Buck on my backpack. Now there's Buck shotgunning a Slurpee. We had a lot of fun. A lot of fun, my little fella.
So this basic thing is this lady, Tamara, who I love this. Tamara, this evil woman in town named Tamara, had this chimp. And she started taking it around, and everybody in town loves the chimp. And you see pictures of everybody, basically. It's like the guy at the Pet Boys taking a picture with the chimp. You know, the lady selling Frosties at the Wendy's taking a picture with the chimp. You know, guy unclogging a toilet taking a picture with the chimp. Like, everybody felt like it was their lucky day if they got to meet the chimp. And then we meet Robert. So Robert is her, wait, who's her son?
Well, we meet up
skipping around a little bit.
A bunch of people. And I also don't know why we meet so many people for this story, but we do. We meet a guy named Tandy, who was, he worked at Domino's, I guess. And he's like, I never delivered to a chimp ever before, but when I got here, he would take my hands and we'd jump up and down. He loved the pizza. I'm like, please put that on your Tinder profile. And then
one guy's like, we go down to the tavern and Tamara'd bring Buck down to eat with him. Real well-mannered at the dinner table.
And then there's
real well-mannered.
And Tamara was friends with my mom and she encouraged me to come over. And it was good for Buck. He needed to socialize. So when I was coming up the driveway, he would jump in my arms and he would just be shaking while he hugged me. God, he loved to hug me.
And then they're like, wow, this monkey was so great. Everybody loved him. And then Jamie's like, yep, Tamara Brigati. She was a regular at the liquor store. I'll tell you that. Tamara Brigati, she didn't just walk in and buy a fifth of booze. We got 6 half gallons and we put them in a box for her. That was a lonely woman. Her husband died. She'd pass and she'd take his clothes and put them on Buck. Oh, my God. So that's like the saddest shit I've ever heard. Oh, my God.
Now we meet the son, Bo. He's like, I love my mother with all my heart, but she is one tough, mean, old lady. And that's what I got to say about her. And that's about it. Okay, roll film.
So this is so sad. This guy is just a wreck. He's still traumatized from all of this. He's clearly like drunk and crying at the same time, you know, through this whole thing. This is terrible. So basically he talks about this animal. He loved this animal. He says a lot of these chimps are ugly as sin, but this one is so handsome. He was the Tom Brady of chimpanzees. We see pictures of him and he is so cute. And he talks about how his mom really loved this chimp and how he would even sleep with her. It's like her little teddy bear. And he tells us that she was obsessed with being the first lady who ever raised the chimp like a little human, like it was part of her family.
Right. And then we go back to Jamie and she's basically saying that like, that Tamara was not qualified in any way to be doing this. And she said that Tamara was not like, wasn't really regarding his safety or his well-being or anything. But she always knew that Buck was never going to be completely safe in Tamara's care. So now we go back to, Tanya's life, and Tanya's now like playing with Tonk downstairs. And Justin's like, yeah, my mom just cares about this animal. I think there's a bond. I think she's saved him and he saved her, honestly. And she also saved him a bunch of chicken McNuggets. So that's nice, too. It keeps the local McDonald's in business.
Oh, gosh. So then we cut back to Justin and Tanya a little bit. And Justin's saying, you know, my mom just worries that Tonka is going to be hurt at this PETA facility and the other chimps will kill him. And he's just too passive for all of this. And Tanya's like, yeah, I mean, he's not going to fight. You know, he's just, he's like a human. He doesn't know how to fight and he doesn't want to fight. He just submits. So, you know, even at size, he got his butt kicked. You know, he's at one time he had over 360 sutures.
They're just talking about how, you know, oh, he's just so docile. He has not a mean bone in his body.
But I guess I have a question as like, you know, an attorney on this case. Then why were you letting him in with other chimps there?
Yeah.
Like, why was that? Why is it okay to do it there, but not with like an approved place?
I just keep thinking of that footage they had of the chimp sanctuary, that big, beautiful, open land with a moat around it. I was like, great, let Tonka go there. It just looks so nice. It looks like chimp paradise.
Yeah, they were paradise. Really showing it. Jungle. Yeah, but they were making that like the circle of life. Yeah. Like, I was like, is this from the opening of the cartoon? Because they were really making it look very heavenly. I wonder if it really is that heavenly.
Yeah. So Tanya's like, you know, my biggest fear is this kid. And by kid, I mean chimpanzee. I mean, it's not me. And everybody's like, well, I'm worried about you. Well, I'm not worried about me. They can throw me in jail for a year. I don't care. I'm not obligated to anyone except this kid right here. And, you know, her son was like, thanks, Mom. I've been waiting so long to hear that. Not you, dumbo. Talking to that tank.
So then we cut to Dwayne and he is doing clown duty at a child's birthday party. And, he's like, happy birthday. He's just juggling in the kid's face.
Yeah.
And the kid's like giving no reaction. It's just like juggling in their face. It's like, okay, now I will juggle bowling pins. What about that? They're like, do not care. Do not care about your fucking juggling, you fucking loser. Have you ever seen a clown at a party where kids are like, oh my God, this is amazing? I've never seen it. I've only seen kids looking bored and or horrified.
I've never seen anyone enjoy a clown ever in the history of clowns. So Dwayne, like,
I feel like clowns don't even enjoy clowns. Like, I've seen clowns hanging out like in a food court, and I've never seen them enjoying each other either. They all look fucking miserable to be around each other too. What are clowns for? Who are you for?
I always thought there were, I thought all that makeup on their face, I couldn't stand it. I didn't want to be near them. They didn't scare me. I just always am like, I don't, they're, it's just, it's unpleasant. It's so hyperactive. So, then he's clown, literally clowning. He's on at a child's birthday party, and then his cell phone rings. And then all of a sudden we hear, hi, this is Michael Weinstein, just returning your call about your friend. So he has to step away from entertaining the children to speak to his lawyer. And so Dwayne is like, yeah, so I'm just walking. I have a hypothetical about my friend with the potential monkey in her basement. And he's like, well, so if she made repeated misrepresentations and false statements, she has a buffet of problems. You like that? I thought about that for a while. I was like, Cynthia, what's a good word I should use? Because I know it's going to be on camera. Do you think buffet? We like buffet? Okay, we can go with buffet. So she has a buffet. I almost went with smorgasbord. I'm not going to lie. Should I say it? I'll take it from the top. She has a smorgasbord of problems. Does that sound good?
Now listen, here's your friend's options. She can either give the fucking monkey up, right, and apologize and say, listen, I was worried for the monkey. I'm giving it up now. She could do that. Or she could say, fuck you and run. Okay, she could do that. Or she could just kill the monkey, because right now there's no problem because there's no monkey. So if she just kills the monkey, put him down, then guess what? You've got a charcuterie of non-problems, okay? You've got so many non-problems to put on so many non-crackers, you know?
Cynthia really wanted me to do the charcuterie one. I said, it's not really going to work. It's not going to land. But she's like, do it. Try it out. So I did it. I did it because I'm a good husband.
Listen, I'm offering you basically a pigs in a blanket of options here. All right. It's a pigs in a blanket tray. What are you going to choose? Let me tell you, they're all the same thing. They're a hot dog wrapped in dough. Okay. Either way, you're kind of fucked at this point, clown. Okay.
You know what? It's like, how bad and how ugly of a car wreck is this going to be for her? And how many of your buffet chafers are going to get ruined? So.
And in the amount of clusterfuck that is clown car wrecks, how bad is this clown car wreck going to be? How car wrecky-ish is this clown car wreck going to be? So yeah, it's not looking good. And when he said, yeah, she can just like get rid of the monkey, just kill him, I was like, what the fuck? What kind of thing is that to say? Dun, dun, dun. Spoiler alert. So then we see
Jared.
Tanya in the room. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, yes, sorry.
We're with Jared. Yeah, we see Jared speaking voiceover, and he's like, "Well, PETA has been exhausting a lot of resources to find Tonka. Okay, and after the beginning of 2022, we put up a $10,000 reward." And Brittany's like, "If Tonka's alive and still stashed somewhere, there are people that know it. And $10,000 is significant."
All right, you're really depressing us. Can we get someone more excited than Brittany? I want people to be motivated to go looking. Okay, I don't need everybody in the fetal position crying.
Sorry, Jared.
You know what? Sorry is not good enough, Brittany. Go to your room.
Sorry, Jared. I'll be in my room.
Yeah, so, you know, $10,000, we feel like that's a really big reward for everyone. In fact, we want to sweeten the deal, and we've added some Groupons for Borders Bookstore. So if you can find one, congrats, you're in luck. You're gonna get some free books and maybe some coffees out of it. So I don't know, everyone. If I were you, I'd be looking for this monkey.
We've got a lot of odd ducks in this town, so we're gonna give $10,000, a Borders gift certificate, and a few of Tanya's wigs. Okay, get anybody involved in drag queen play that relates to toddlers and tiaras involved in this. Okay, those drag queens will find it.
We have an old six pack of Crystal Pepsi. Some people might like that as just a keepsake, want to build a collection, maybe start your own museum about soft drinks of the past. So we got that, and maybe a box of McPizza from McDonald's. Just saying, we have a lot to offer you guys.
So, Brittany's like, people who own exotic animals know that we're a threat to them. because we know their secrets. And Justin's like, yeah, I mean, it's scary. One of these days, someone could come banging on our door asking for the monkey. And Tony's like, yeah, they're sending vigilantes out. Vigilantes to steal our monkey. You are the vigilante. Give your damn monkey up.
I like Brittany saying, people who own exotic animals know that we're a threat to them, and we know their secrets, except the very obvious places they may be stashing their exotic animals. God, where could it be?
So then we cut back to Jamie, Buck's former nanny, and she's getting a tattoo. Gee, I guess what the tattoo is. Sorry, I sneeze. Guess what the tattoo is?
What?
I think we see it yet. Okay, so then Jamie's like, this doesn't get easier as long as the older I get, it still doesn't get easier. And she's like, I took care of Buck for 7 years and it started just being buddies, but then I became sort of his nanny. And one of my favorite moments, God, I will never forget this. I gave him chewing gum. I mean, he was just so happy. And then I put him in a bath one time and he wore shoes. And I said, what are you, crazy? You gum chewing, shoe wearing bath taker. God.
And then I realized I'd actually just given the gum and the shoes to Tamara. It was a huge mistake. But by the way, I feel like it's not safe to give chewing gum to a chimp. Like, they don't know.
I think we're beyond that at this point.
Did they not? I don't know if the chimp knows about how swallowing gum could be so dangerous.
I'll tell you what. I hope he doesn't have caps on his teeth, because he was really like,
yeah.
And I was like, that could cost $1,000. You know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, you know, these chimps are obviously not at middle age yet. They're not worrying about the important things. So then we go back to Tamara's friend, Robert, and he is on the phone with Tamara. And Robert's like, Tamara, you do not want to be involved in getting Buck's story out. Oh, this is Tamara, the kind of evil old lady, Buck's mom. So this guy's like, do you not want to get involved in telling Buck's story? Because it's going to get told, Tamara, and if you're not part of it. And she's like, oh, yeah. Nobody better tell us that story or they're dead. See it clear. Keep your head down. Anything like that going on, I'm going to take food out of their children's mouths. I'll leave them homeless and then I'll get angry. I was like, God damn, Tamara's evil no matter what show you put her on.
Yeah. So then, you know, Jamie's talking about how Tamara wanted to build like this enclosure and she was going to build all this stuff to benefit Buck's life, and there was photos of her on like bulldozers and stuff, you know, and she was just she was going through the motions to make it look like she was doing stuff for Buck, but she wasn't. And then Bo's son was just saying how, like, basically Buck was sad. He wasn't in the jungle. He wasn't climbing trees or eating fruit or meeting ladies or getting into fights. He just was a sad, sad chimp. And then Tamara then went and had Buck castrated. And then started wearing, like, putting, like, padlocks around his neck because he's obviously too big and too strong and too dangerous to keep around, sort of just like, oh, just you get to hang out around the house. Like, now you start to have to contain the animal. And, like, never does she think, oh, maybe it's time for me to move Buck on to a place that would, you know, is more equipped to take care of him.
Yeah, this gets so sad. So basically, this guy is just miserable, this fucking guy. Every time they cut to him talking about his mom, he's just got so much devastation about his mom and how he was raised and all that. It's so sad. And then we find out that basically PETA hears about this animal and that she's having problems and she can't take care of it. So they're like, we need to visit. We're going to get this animal, basically. And we need to, and Tanya calls, or Tamara calls them freaking out and is like, listen, I'm worried. Why don't you guys just come check it out and you'll see that it's safe. So she makes a date, but then she cancels the date with PETA and she keeps changing the date to try and push them off so that they can't come see the animal. But, you know, obviously it's PETA. They're not going to back down. I mean, unless she puts
Buck in
it somewhere very close.
Puts Buck in a very obvious place. So then now we go back to Tanya and she's showing Tonka Instagram.
He's like, hey, you like this? You like this? You want to see footage of, hey, look at all these chimps that are roaming around free. Here's some, here's a chimp playing outside. Here's another chimp playing outside. That looks good, huh, Tonk? You like that, Tonk? Here's another one. You like that, Tonk?
And you just see Tonk.
Oh, God, here's a lady throwing a tire across the street. Tonk, did you press swipe up on a CrossFit? Oh, God, now here's a lady lifting an iron bar above her head and dropping it and screaming, hoo-ah. God, Tonk, I told you, don't swipe on CrossFit things anymore. I can't handle it.
Great, now it's in the algorithm. Oh, God.
God, got monkeys and CrossFit. God damn it.
Then we go back to Alan Cummings, and he's like, well, if Tonya still has Tonka, if Tonka's alive and she's hiding him, then she's kind of trapped. You know, what can she do? She's got this chimp. She really can't take him out and go for walks. Everyone will see her. And if that is happening, then she must know what a dangerous thing it is for her. So Peter are still observing. People are eventually going to find out. You know, I've never met Tonya. To me, she's a woman who's wronged and spurned and furious at her love being wrenched from her, being murdered, if you will. And I have great empathy for that feeling. And I love that chimp so much. I had a special, special bond. So I understand that she has that. I truly understand how you behave crazily for what you consider to be your family.
So he's going to put up another 10 grand to match Peter's 10 grand. So now it's 20 grand. Dun, dun, dun. So then Eric is still hand-wringing over, like, what do I do about Tonka? He's a filmmaker. And he's like, it's important for me not to overreach into the story, but, you know, like, I don't know. The viewers need to come to their own conclusion, right? So then he's asking for advice from Peter.
I'm not in trouble, right? I'm doing the right thing.
And he's asking for his journalist friend's advice, Peter. And he's like, but you know, we never thought in our wildest imaginations we were going to be in this situation. Like, do we turn her in? Do we follow the story? What would you do? And he's like,
as journalists, we don't want to do something that's morally, ethically wrong, but we're looking at how we can act to get the story in. You have to hope that, fuck it, of course, we're journalists. I mean, what the hell? Do whatever you need to do. Beat a baby. Get the story. Come on.
I mean, what are you joking?
You've already got 30 hours of this woman in a nail salon getting her lips filled at the Pep Boys. I mean, you can't let that go, man. Get it out there, no matter how.
I mean, is there a greater good? Well, we think there might be a chimp network. That's good enough. That works. You're good. You're safe. So now Tonya is still scrolling on Instagram, and she's looking at something. It's, oh, yeah, Keely. Guess what Keely says? She says, up yours, PETA. God, I love Keely. Oh, so good.
Oh, the cover right here, Variety Magazine. This little bastard. Look at this article. This is all bullshit. It's Jared. It's Jared here. You know what they should say? Little pipsqueak fuckface of the year. That's who he is. There's what we need from you, Variety. All right, this little bastard. Look at this article. It's all bullshit. He doesn't care about Tonka because that movie was done. This Alan Cumming idiot. That movie was done in 1997. He didn't even know anything about Tonka. He never offered to come visit. He never bought him any presents. You know what? I'll tell you one thing that Alan Cummings never did. He never threw some honey mustard in a packet at Tonka's face. I'll tell you that.
You think I believe that story that he thought that Tonka was in Palm Springs? On a gay branch somewhere retiring. Bullshit. He didn't care at all about Tonka. So then
he's just being paid by PETA to act like he cares. So that's it. You know, they said, who can we get to change hearts and minds all over America? A guy from a movie in 1997.
You know, PETA.
Surely that'll do it. Give him $100. Let's see where this goes.
Dwayne, it's Tonya here calling you. Okay, you know, PETA's out to destroy me. I have pissed them off to the highest extent that you could even piss them off. Okay, they would literally send a hitman after me, I swear to God, if they thought they could get by with it.
So Dwayne's like, yep, I mean, you're under a lot of pressure. It's $20,000. I mean, 20,000, half of it's from Alan Cumming. That is amazing. God, I was about to tell the clowns about that, but God, they get violent. They get real, real violent. I mean, I don't even know if they care about the money, but Alan Cumming, I mean, he was one of the greatest MCs of all time.
Well, it's really bad. I mean, now it's viral, and now, you know, $20,000, you don't know who to trust. You don't even sleep at night, and you wonder, is someone going to knock at the door? People going to drive up to my driveway just because they could get a glimpse of the chimp? You know, it's scared. I almost feel like I'm the victim here.
You know, you hear a lot of people say, well, my grandparents mostly, but they would always say, people don't want to work anymore. They just don't. And I always thought that's such bullshit. People literally do not want to work anymore. There's $20,000 on the table for finding a chimp. All you have to do is look in the phone book to see where this lady lives. No one can even come up to her door and look in the window. Well, I guess it's in the basement. But still, it's $20,000. How lazy are we, people?
Yeah, just show up in a wig and be like, I'm so sad. I need to be needed. I wish I had the love that a chimp could give me. And she's like, oh, come on downstairs. I want to show you Tonk.
Hey, listen, I've got some free Restylane. It's only going in a basement. All right, come on down. Oh, whoops, there's Tonk. There's Tonky B. So she's like, let me ask you, Mr. T. Okay, so she's crying in her car, right? So she's talking to Dwayne still. And she's like, all right, let me ask you something. You know, Mr. T, Tonky B, he's in congestive heart failure real bad. I mean, I've said it a lot of times. Maybe the more I say it, the more you'll believe it, right? So the vet wanted me to put him down the other day, but I couldn't. So he made an appointment for the 2nd of June because he don't think I'm being fair to Tonka letting him live like this when he don't feel good, you know? So, I mean, I don't know if you'd want to be around then, you know, because that's like kind of the end of a legacy. Wait, so you're going to put him down and now you want people to film it? This lady.
So then now Eric.
I'm trying here, Tanya, but you're killing me. Now, this part shocked me.
So now Eric and Dwayne are talking, and Eric is like, she's killing the chimp. And Dwayne's like, yeah, she's going to euthanize it. And Eric's like, is the chimp in a really bad shape? And Dwayne's like, well, again, let me just remind you, I am a clown. And so I don't have a professional assessment on this, but like, yeah, it looks like the chimp's not doing so well, but that might also be because the chimp is confined to a tiny cage in a basement and isn't in its natural habitat and needs, like, could probably feel a lot better if it was outside and eating better food.
And Eric's like, so she would really kill the chimp just to make her problems worse? And he's like, well, if there's not a chimp, there's not a problem, right? And that's like Tanya finally got that, you know? So Eric is like, do you think this sounds awfully similar to the chimp in Pendleton? And he's like, yeah. So then we cut back to the other story that is so sad. And Bo's like, you know, I don't know a lot about PETA, but they do like to take animals from people. And my mom just said, fuck you, I'm going to do this to the end. So he tells this story about how she wanted him to move up to help take care of the monkey. And he was like, oh, hell no. So she got her daughter to move in with her to take care of this animal for a while. And they had a thing that they would get every morning. They would go have their coffee together. And there was this way that they would lock the doors every single morning. Well, one morning they didn't lock the door properly. And before you knew it, the chimp attacked the daughter.
Yeah. And like, it was like a big bloody fight, and like the chimp like bit out parts of like her leg and stuff like that. So then 911 gets dispatched. 911 comes in. We see the body cam footage. They have to, you know, they shoot Buck, and then they are taking the daughter, but she's alive. The daughter is actually alive, but, it's wild. And thankfully they blur everything out. We don't actually see the monkey getting killed. We don't see, they blur out the daughter who's like just, in like,
thank God. I mean, they did blur out enough that, you know, we're still like horrified by this whole thing because there was body cam footage and stuff. But we also hear her on the phone with them. She's really calm and she's telling them he's gone. Basically, he's gone haywire and you have to shoot him in the head. That's the only way to get him down. Shoot him in the head, shoot him in the head, shoot him in the head, over and over and over. I mean, it is just, it's painful.
Yeah, it's wild. So then, so we come back. And Jamie's saying that he thinks that Buck is a victim of circumstances. And he says that, like, he's a victim of humans. You know, and he's just, like, really, you know, like, or I'm sorry, Jamie is the nanny. But either way, everyone's just like, yeah, this was a fucked up situation. So now we're back with Eric. And he is driving and he's on the phone. And he's speaking to what we find out is PETA. And he's like, we've got some really important information we need to talk to you about because it has echoes similar to Buck and Tamara and Pendleton. And we don't want that outcome. So then they sit down and they meet with Jared. They sit down in Jared's office and they basically show Jared footage. They play audio of Tanya and Dwayne's conversation about congestive heart failure, et cetera, euthanasia. And basically, Jared is like, oh, basement. I never really thought about that. Looking in her basement, that is a pretty impressive idea. Yeah.
Brittany's like, but remember when I told you to look in the basement? Get the fuck out of here, Brittany. Okay. Sorry, Jared. Sorry. And then as this ends, we find out that the twist at the end of this episode is that now the documentary crew has basically turned state's evidence on Tanya. And so now this whole thing is going to be how to bring down Tanya, which is crazy. Oh my God. What, you know, sorry, not the funniest like recap in the world, but this show really is incredible to watch. I mean, it's got me glued to the TV. It has me laughing really the silly, like that guy Sy stealing from the township to buy a snow cone machine.
died laughing. And then the other parts are just so sad. And it really does have so many twists and turns in it. It's really, really well done. I'm really enjoying it. But sorry for, you know, not a ton of laughs, but what can you do with this? I mean, my God.
It's a show. So anyway, everyone, thank you so much for...
It's a thing. It's a thing that's happening.
People are talking about it. So everyone, thank you so much for being here. And next week, we'll have the thrilling conclusion, part four of this wild documentary. And we will catch you on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
What's up, guys? It's your girl, Kiki, and my podcast is back with a new season. And let me tell you, it's so good. And I'm diving into the brains of entertainment's best and brightest, okay? Every episode, I bring on a friend. I mean, the likes of Amy Poehler, Kel Mitchell, Vivica Fox, the list goes on. So follow, watch, and listen to Baby, This is Kiki Palmer on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.